Hello, welcome everyone. I hope that this will not sound a little bit like deja vu, because it will be basically, I will be basing my talk based on what Jiří was talking about, because we use Slash 16 as platform to build Leap on. So if you see some overlap, this is intentional, okay? Just to introduce myself, I'm Luboš Kocman. I work at SUSE for, I guess, past 6 years. I'm working on Leap as Leap and Leap Micro as release manager. And Max Lin, who is he here? No, I don't see him. But he's actually a release engineer on the... Ah, there he is, that guy. So any technical questions, he will be here to help me answer them. So what is Leap? Did anybody ever install Leap here in the audience? Okay, so Jeff, Max, happy to see it. Cool. So generally we know what's going on, right? So again, to repeat what Jiří said, we are not going immutable, at least not yet, not with all flavors and stuff. It's traditional distribution based on latest available SLES. I received yesterday a question, what about 15.7, right? And just like we didn't really have like equivalent Leap release for 12 SP5, you know, we were already working in Leap 15, we do not have equivalent Leap release for SLES 15 SP7. It was like our fallback plan in case that there would be further delays of 16, didn't happen. We can actually do sufficient enough overlap in between 15.6 and 16. That's our plan, okay? So no 15.7. There's package hub for 15.7, so we sort of built a Leap-like system, but we do not create installable images. Just in case that you would notice something in OBS. Cool. What was special about 15? And I think that we really have to like put some focus on that, because this is our strong side. So typical enterprise-like distributions, like you could say Debian, you know, it has long-term support. We had 90 months. Debian had 60. So we are like half, extra like 50% of the support for single code stream. I think that's very impressive. It also means that we are quite aging. There's some balance to it. But so far, out of all of the community enterprise distributions, Leap 15 had the longest support to the date. Who is it ideal for? I would say, if you are new to OpenSUSE, you don't know what to install, I would start with Leap. Once you get to know it, you know, and you figure out you need like newer development tools and stuff, like then, you know, you have like nice knowledge of the ecosystem. You can go to Tumbleweed, or you can use DistroBox with Tumbleweed, and so on and so on. But I think it's you know, if you have server at home and you do not want to go microway, and you've never touched transactional update, rolling distros, and you are new to it, I think this would be a really great start. We used to ship it in the box. We used to have boxes until 15.3. Well, COVID, basically. And it had some startup guides. These are pretty obsolete nowadays, and I guess we are not going back to the boxes, but we used to have them. 16.0 beta is available for testing for about a month now, so you can just go to getopensuse.org, you can install it. Some people expect that this is one-time drop-off, like we drop beta image and then we don't touch it until G. This is not happening. Like, we have basically updates on a weekly basis, I would say, week to 2 weeks. So if you see an issue, it may be gone in 2 weeks. So we are constantly updating it. I'm not sure why is it displayed like that, to be honest. I was working on the formatting, okay. We do have OpenSUSE roadmap wiki page and calendar OpenSUSE.org, which actually have roadmap information. So if you are interested, when is it released, just type OpenSUSE roadmap to Google. You will find it. It's wiki page. We have calendar OpenSUSE.org, where you can see all upcoming deadlines as well. You can import it as ICS. And I think that brings some convenience. The UI still needs like some fixes, because we have asserted events, and past events don't have deadlines displayed and so on. And we don't do like full day events. But it's going there, and I think it will be nicer. I can maybe show you. Since we have plenty of time, it's a long talk. Calendar OpenSUSE.org. I will push it on the next screen. Right. There we go. So you can see that we were supposed to have Harkey RBI freeze deadline today. I think it was shifted by a week. But generally, you should be able to get all of these events from here. And I think that should be basically future of our roadmap. So you just go to Teams, you subscribe to the calendar, you can get it. If there is an update, you can see it. This could use some improvements, right? But I think it's still, it will be like, once we resolve the issues that we have, I think it will be better than the wiki that we have right now. Less space for typos and so on. And single source of truth, which we don't have if we have two places where we track the information, right? Okay, let me maybe start again, because that from just one. Right. Cool. So the expected GA, I'm typing, or I wrote October, which probably corresponds with like estimated time for when Slash is supposed to have Gold Master. And they have like usually month in between Gold Master and first customer shipment. Leap doesn't need month. We need like, we have a build and we are able to ship it within 2, 3, 4, 5 days. There is extra work around it, like opening retrospective and so on. So it's very likely that we will have GA like maybe 2 weeks before Slash does, but like the build will be final, the updates will be equal. It's just Slash will not be yet released. Right now we are, I think, aiming like beginning of October. It may slip. If Slash slips, I have to slip too. Like I cannot do my custom GM, which is not based on Slash. It has to be equal. Okay? Yuji already mentioned it. I did a little overstatement here, so 6.2, which is currently being developed, has the same roadmap as 16, so again, GA around October, November. And in future versions, since it will be basically based on Leap 16, which is based on Slash 16, it could be technically appliance image. I think the marketing will be difficult, because then some people could say, well, this micro image of Leap is immutable, right? So is Leap immutable? I can see these questions popping up. But basically, it will be the same code stream, and I think that we can do really easy handling. It will be less work. I'm happy that I will not have to do OpenQA setup twice a year, just once a year. So I'm actually quite looking forward for it. How is it built? So this is like a light overview, and then I have like specific slide for contributors. It wasn't exactly easy to contribute to Leap. We are aware of that, right? We have backports. We have Leap project. Maintenance updates, like go to these projects. There are many questions, and we will be changing it together with the Git workflow again. Stay tuned. So generally, we still have the layout when we have like Leap and backports. In 15, backports was the project where all the community packages from Factory were submitted. So if you wanted to add new package to Leap, and it wasn't from Slash, you would normally submit it to backports. OpenSUSE backports, Leap 15, SP6, or whatever. And that would be the place in 15. We thought it's confusing. So if you want to submit package to Leap, you would just submit it to Leap. So everything is now tracked in Leap. OpenSUSE Leap 16 in OBS, which I think is more obvious, more easy. But we kind of do a trick, and we actually rebuild these packages in backports. Okay, so that's sort of hidden from the contributor initially. But it's for the case that we can actually use backport signing key, which is also important for package hub that we built from backports and so on and so on. We keep on building on top of Slash 16 binary packages. That doesn't change. That's the same as it was in 15. Okay. So that model where we have like shared core, same kernel, is still the same. We may have different configuration, right? Like eventually, but it's literally the same binaries. So for contributors, I already covered that we had backports, right? These links, can I use PDF? Because I think that it's terrible that it's... No, it's blue for some reason there as well. Sorry for that. I was fixing it. I'm not sure why. Why is it like that? Okay, so we have backports, right? How to actually handle building for Leap? If you submitted packages for Leap, you already know about it. I'm talking mostly about the macros. We used to have Slee version, which I think that we wanted to re-add back to CodeStream, to ALP, to SLFO. We didn't know what the product will be called. But that never happened. So we started to use SUSE version, which was available. And now people were kind of asking, hey, can we please bring back the Slee version? But I think it would be quite unsafe because, you know, we've already tuned packages to SUSE version. You could maybe get into unexpected scenarios. So right now it's too late. So we will be stuck with SUSE version for, I guess, end of the CodeStream, okay? That's important. Another thing which is important on this slide is that we are planning to migrate to Git. We will not be standing in the way. Companies going that direction, we want to be supportive. We want it to happen before public RC, okay? I think that's important. Public RC code submission deadline is on July 21st, ideally before that date. I would not like to change contribution workflow post this date when the product should be stable, more or less. Maintenance, same story. Usually, Leap had the entire maintenance set up by beta, or at least we set it up, and then we were testing it and so on. Here, we have an agreement to adopt the new maintenance workflow, similar to what Leap Micro has. And this is currently blocked on the transition to Git as well. So we don't really have any docs for it yet. They will appear, but like we still need to do this step first. Adam Meyer gave me ETA about a month, so which corresponds with ERC. So stay tuned. Unfortunately, I don't have news until this is done. One thing that I think is for sure, we will not have a dedicated update project. So you will be submitting probably to the GA project, just like on Micro. New installer. Everybody seen? Was there Agama talk already today? Did you see Agama? Yeah, OK. So we are using the new installer for sure. We started with online-only image. We have offline image as well, so you can choose which one you want. Somehow, in past month, the offline image was a little bit more problematic than the online. So if you see like some issue that you can't install something, just go for online version. But it's always a bug. It has to be fixed. So this is the new, we built in a slightly different way than we used to, so it's sort of error prone. The important thing, I guess, for people who do mass deployments is that we still support Autoyest. To an extent, I'm not sure if 100%, but like for majority, yes. We do not have many appliances. We have base image. There is a request to add encrypted base image and so on. We would like to build the library, but this is where we are currently behind, and I hope that we will catch up soon. If you have any specific use cases, this is a good time when we can actually consider some specialized images. Basically, in next release, we will have Micro as one of these specialized images. What changed a lot is the revamped system management. You can't read it, sorry, but it's Merlin with Y, which is the new tool replacing Yast software management, or software control center, I guess was the term. It's basically, the order was clear, right? We were supposed to get rid of Yast libraries and stuff from slash 16. So if we wanted to preserve some graphical tool for package installation, and I feel like every single new user who never used Zipper, like, he will probably struggle, right? So I really wanted to deliver the experience that you install Leap. You can use GNOME Software Center, but like good luck with stuff like fish and small shells and small applications. This is not the use case for GNOME Software Center, okay? So for that, you still want to have larger granularity. You will not be able to install patterns from GNOME Software Center. So this is highly demanded feature, I guess, by users, at least the new ones. You know, then eventually they learn Zipper and they will use it. But I can't imagine that we wouldn't have it. Also, just like Yuri mentioned, we went fully Selinux in enforcing mode. For gamers, you will have to install gaming policy on top of that. Just be aware, that's also available. We do have Cockpit. Cockpit doesn't fully replace like the Yast, but like on the server side, maybe you can use it. But don't expect that it's a tool designed for like desktop workstation configuration. It's not. It's more like for server maintenance if you haven't used it. This is how Merlin looks like, just like the Yast Software Center, pretty much the same. The goal is that this is pre-installed when you do like graphical installation of Leap, and you should have basically the same experience as before. Where we changed a lot of things, and I feel like people will generally like appreciate, is the repository management in Leap 16. We have less repositories, so we no longer have dedicated update repositories. As I said, like we will not have dedicated update projects, so we can use one big repository, right? One big repository was a problem, because we combined all the architectures together, which created huge repo data, and then you were, I don't know, fetching 40 megs on every Zipper refresh. We've changed that. Now we have actually dedicated repo data per each architecture, so you can actually fetch smaller chunks of the data, which makes it faster. We have parallel downloads, thanks to Benjamin and Andreas from Zipper team. So this is also enabled by default. We are using OpenSUSE repos package, which is delivering like template. Imagine an XML which is saying how the repositories should look like, and then we just generate these repo files from it. The good thing is that it's under RPM management. So for example, if we would be adding a repository in 16.1, I do not have to write a small wiki section, please add this repository to your system before migration. I can just deliver software update for OpenSUSE repos. And then on the next slide, I will show we have a little migration tool which fetches the OpenSUSE repos from the new release before migration. So you have the repositories that you have to have and then does migration, right? So this is fully under RPM control, which is good relief. I can see that some people will try to edit these files manually and they will get overwritten by the local service, which is expected. So please do not edit these files manually. And we use CDN by default. Actually, I'm really happy that we have sponsored Fastly CDN, so get used to it. In OpenSUSE repos, there is a variable that allows you to override, I call it dist URL, which if you would have a local mirror, which you feel is faster, you know, you can just use it, and you don't have to touch these repo files, and the regeneration from local RIS service will actually respect that variable, and in that way, you can edit these repo files indirectly. Okay? But by default, I expect that users just should not touch it unless they really know what they are doing. You can uninstall it. You can use your manual repo definitions, but then don't expect that the migration tool will support you. Okay, you are on your own. Yes, migration. So we have now a little tool that was created as part of Hack Week. It's called OpenSUSE Migration Tool. And basically, when I realized, okay, so we have these repo definitions under RPM control, and we can fetch from target release to new definitions, then that makes it really easy to upgrade to Tumbleweed or to slow roll. Not really vice versa, because you would be doing downgrade, but that made it really easy. So and also to SUSE Linux Enterprise in a way, because with just sort of being obsoleted, let's say this way, we didn't really have a tool to use for migration to SLES 16 from Leap 16, and this tool sort of handles that as well. Okay. It's not officially supported by SUSE, it's community support, it's my package. If you have issues, report it to me. I will be happily working on it. It worked for me on Hack Week. I suppose it will work for minority of use cases where people migrate from Leap to SLES. New face. So maybe you've noticed the yellow background when I was screen sharing and showing that Steam works on Leap 16, which is good. We were actually working on the past OSCE. We had like little branding workshop, which we have tomorrow as well, so this is a promotion for the workshop. I have a lot of pencils, a lot of markers, a lot of papers, dotted papers, everything that you need for your unchained creativity. And we will be basically finishing what we started. The geolocation wallpapers are not fully done, and I would love to finish them. And we want to see some new ideas for the next release, because you know we didn't touch on Leap wallpapers for like 6-7 years before. And I think it's a pity, and we should have like a little bit more drive in this area, so it looks fresh. Also, it affects Tumbleweed. We can refresh Tumbleweed wallpapers as well, so it's like effort that helps also rolling distros. And there are some items I remember from the last one. We were not really the accessibility of wallpapers. If you compared it to default icons on KDE, wasn't ideal for color blind people. So there are ways that we can address on these workshops. We can talk together. We can sit, play music. We have a little bit over an hour, I guess, to work together and make it a little bit better. And I'm really happy for that opportunity. So if you plan to attend, or your distribution is missing logo, or you would like to update it, go there. You will have people who actually work on branding, and we can talk. But it's 10 a.m., so I expect that most people will not arrive there. Revisited desktop. Yeah, big change, right? Jiří mentioned that SLES has smaller desktop. No desktop product server will come with like minimal desktop. Expect like GNOME base basically, or GNOME minimal, I think is the pattern. And that gives us a little bit of flexibility. Not so much because you are still bound by the versions that SLES has, right? So you can't really, you have to respect that. On the Plasma side, there was a discussion whether we should keep on using some sort of LTS version of Plasma that we had in Leap 15, but there is no LTS version of Plasma 6 that made it easy. So we are basically using Plasma 6.3.4. I believe Antonio plans to update it to 6.4.0. Right now, we are using GNOME 48. There was ambition to have 48.1. I'm not sure if SLES can make it. If they can't make it, I can't make it. That's the mutual relationship that we have. I'm happy for the update of GStreamer. We have Flatpak 1.16, Pipewire. These are packages from Antonio. One cool thing from Stefan Dirsch. I'm not sure if he's here. but we are improving experience of the NVIDIA deployments. In the past, you had to install the NVIDIA packages manually, the user space and stuff. So right now, that will be automatic. We did have, I believe, automatic repo enablement already in the past based on the PCI ID that you can actually check in RPM. Right now, it will also install you the user space packages. Okay, so that, I think, will improve some use cases. We are working on integrating no OpenH264 into Slash 16. I already have submission in there. Did you hear about that package? Do you know what it does? Yeah. No? No? Okay, so is Neil here? It was his idea, basically, from Fedora. So generally, imagine that you built your software against some sort of dummy library. And you know, because we cannot redistribute OpenH264, that's the problem, right? So you build it against a dummy library, and then on the next online operation with OpenH264 repositories enabled by default on lib, that's the case since 15.5, I believe, you can just replace the dummy for the actual library, and your videos are working, right? In Firefox, in GNOME Video Player or Totem, it used to be called. So this will be a little bit better than before, okay? And I'm happy that Slash seems to be supportive. Olaf looked like we are taking it, so I'm happy that that's happening. The next step will be actually to basically stop building GStreamer plugins for OpenH264 against the OpenH264 and super secret project with limited access for the redistribution control. And we can just build it like against this dummy package. Then we will have that only that no OpenH264 single library, single RPM that we will be asking Cisco to publish secretly on their infra. So for me, this is very nice improvement. Another thing, we were not able to get rid of X11 fully, like there is still some remains in Slash build root, lib inherits it, people get use of it, okay? I would not like to add any X11 or non-valent desktop environment into the Agama software selection. I think that's we are in transition phase to just completely get rid of it. But we still give people an option to like add their favorite desktop environment that is not valent ready, but it will be not offered to the users by default, okay? And then I expect with next major, that's just will not be an option anymore. Revamped release notes. So if you go to github.com/suse, not OpenSUSE, suse/release notes, I was thinking of how to make release notes better. And it was really, I don't know, I never read the document. I was partially creating it. We were adding what changed, what packages, what hundreds of Python packages we removed at release, and what hundreds of packages we added, and so on. But it wasn't fully complete document because we always copied it from previous lib release, and we were really skipping the internals from Slash that were simply never part of lib release notes. And right now, we are using, Slash documentation team, they came up with the idea of modular release notes. And so you can import individual blobs, and that's how we do lib. And unlike in the previous release notes, they were using Slash product, variables, and then it was substituted by the actual product strings. Now they just use product. So I can substitute these strings with lib, and it still applies for me as well. I can choose what sections I want to some extent, what sections I don't want. And I like that the Slash part of the release notes, which is common for lib and Slash, is basically provided for free, and it's always up to date from given release. And I can just add some extra information on top of that, and I think it's more complete, more usable document, which we basically didn't have in previous releases. It will probably also be accessible from the same location, which again is good if we have single documentation center. And that was originally the idea that we had when there were early prototypes of ALP, because we had to rework the documentation publishing pipelines anyway, because the old system where it used to be run was sort of migrated, and then the pipelines were basically manual. And we no longer have to build RPM with release notes for installer, because Agama doesn't support displaying release notes. That makes it online only, so it could be like basically GitHub static page, and the CI is easy, right? So let's make it easy. I'm quite happy with the result. It will not be red, don't worry, like on GA. This is only for the draft. Yes, Steam. You have seen that Steam was working, right? Like initially. And there are some downsides. Slash 16 does not support execution of 32-bit emulated binaries, period. It's disabled in kernel. You can enable it with passing proper variable, this one, on boot, and then you can actually execute them, but Slash 16 doesn't ship any of these libraries, okay? So they only ship 64-bit libraries on Intel. period. But they still build it for our use cases in Buildroot, and from there, Leap is sort of inheriting them. We don't have enough. We need like something like 200 more to fully satisfy like Steam and other software and VirtualBox. But if you install like glibc 32-bit and this new grub 2 compat IA32, maybe we will call it kernel config or kernel compat IA32, something like that, because it would work with other bootloaders than grub that I didn't realize before. If you do that, reboot your machine, you install like Linux policy targeted gaming, you can run Steam from Flatpak. It works pretty nicely. You need Steam devices to support like controller. But me as a Steam user, I'm quite happy. I don't see a big limit that I can't pull it from NanoOS's repository. I'm quite happy for the Flatpak. People have the same experience on MicroOS or on Aeon, on Kalpa. So I feel like this is shared experience. The good thing is I felt like we will be the distribution that has a little bit more extra steps to get like gaming working, right? And on workshops, on booths in InstallFest, I'm always advertising how it's easy to game on Linux, that you don't need like Windows. You know, Windows 10 is a big topic. I hope that people will migrate eventually to Leap and stuff. And gaming is one of the topics that people need to address, right, if they game. And I didn't want to be the distribution that basically has extra steps and it's not obvious and it makes it somehow clunky for users to actually game. And I just received information that Fedora is doing the same. Fedora 44 will not have any 32-bit libraries. RHEL 10 doesn't have any 32-bit libraries. For Fedora, it's still a proposal. It may change. But that puts them exactly to the same situation as us. So I feel like it's a collective issue. It's not something that we would be dealing with only. So I feel like there will be more or less the same experience. Maybe we will push on Valve to, I don't know, have like Steam version that works with like 64-bit Vine and doesn't execute the old versions. I don't know. But I'm happy that I'm not alone. Also, thanks a lot to Marcus. I think that he was here. He submitted 64-bit flavor of Vine to Leap, so we have Vine that works. And we don't need 32-bit libraries, which is cool. So this is the situation. So for me, I would not like to enable this by default. I think that, again, transition period. And I'm happy that Leap has a little bit more flexibility to handle these transitions than Slash. Slash usually says no, and that's how it is. They say no by default, but you can, just like with AppArmor, right? You can use AppArmor. Basically, also, if you enable extra parameter and you install pattern and so on. So I'm happy that we provide this transition period for users so they don't have this hard stop and big change in their workflows. Struggle in the moment. So yeah, we used to have a lot of issues with legacy bootstack on like VirtualBox and some other virtualization solutions. I feel like most of this is away now. Limited set, at least it passes in OpenQA. Limited set of 32-bit libraries, it's an issue. But I think this is basically the future of all distributions that have some big enterprise corporation behind, like Fedora, RHEL, the same. The bigger issue is that we are releasing on certain architectures that we cannot test at the moment. Like, I don't have a single PowerPC 10 plus builder, a 9 plus builder in OpenQA that would be, that would allow me to test like Leap images, which I think is a big problem. And we do have some resources internally in the lab, but right now we can't use them for OpenSUSE. So that I think is very, very unfortunate. S390X also problematic. Reusability of previous Leap test suites is very problematic because we have completely new installer, right? And so we cannot just use the main PM with all the scheduled tests and everything because this is all tailored to the old installer. So we have to extend it from the scratch and so on and so on. The Git import that I mentioned or Git workflows that we will adopt, that's also blocking some of the progress and the appliances that I mentioned. So I feel like these are currently the worst issues that we have. I'm happy that the 32-bit somehow I feel is in the state which I would find personally sufficient. The appliances, that's another story, Git, that needs to happen. So this is not exactly in my control right now. We know that we want to do that. And we have OpenSUSE known bugs. So if you just look it up on Google, it will point you to Wiki page. And we have a list of issues which are open, which are the pressing. So before you feel like you have the urge to open new bug, please go there. It's a nice wiki page. I can show it to the people. And Right? Yeah, first thing that appears. And so also, please, if you create a new issue, it seems to be pressing for you, you can also update the wiki page. So it can be collective effort. And I've read the states. You know, if somebody has like older build that he didn't update, he can still see it in there. I just read that the issue is fixed. So yeah, this is where we track it. You have also links to like bugs and queries and so on that you would need anyway. Cool. And I think this is all. Is it all? Yeah. Do you have any questions about Leap 16? Like, I highly suggest that you use it before it's GA, because like now we still have some space where we can implement. Yeah, I see, Sarah. Okay. Where we can still implement changes, right? We are not yet in RC. We're still in beta, even once less.
Related to the OpenSUSE migration tools, does it support also migrations between SLES and OpenSUSE, or yeah, only within OpenSUSE? Because we are receiving only SLES systems in the Linux One community cloud, and
I can maybe
need the migration to OpenSUSE afterwards.
Right. Let me maybe try to run it. I will not, like, I think that with dry run, I can do that. Oh, yeah, just. It will be an SBIN, right? Yeah, exactly. Huh. My password is 10 stars. Yep. I wonder why do I have green theme? It's not like true color terminal for whatever reason. But yes, we do. So you can see that current migration path from this is Leap 16 beta, okay, just to make it clear. And the user can migrate either to SUSE Linux Enterprise 16 SPO beta, which is the enterprise equivalent. 16.0 is not yet out, so it's beta, right? Tumbleweed or slow roll. Okay? No.
Is it also in SLES available or only in OpenSUSE?
So this tool heavily uses the OpenSUSE repos package, right? And SLES is sort of like extra exception handling where we fake product, like we literally like create like file which claims I'm SLES. I was hoping that I could use SLES BCI repository, which has release package inside, which I could pull and do not have to fake it, but like that has different product identification that cannot be migrated to SLES easily. But it's not in SLES. You can enable package hub, then you can have this tool, but it will not be particularly useful because migration from SLES to Leap or Tumbleweed is not really, I don't have that scenario supported. It's possible, but I don't have it.
For S390X, is that required in the Linux One community cloud?
I know it's possible. I know. I've done it before, so. But I will not. Yeah, I've had a discussion with management. We will not add that option. You can still do it manually, but like it works. I mean, it's pretty easy. You replace repos package. You do zipper dub with few options. Download in advance. It tries to do it automatically. If you hit issue, it returns you back to interactive zipper dub, and you can resolve the conflicts and whatever. It disables third-party repositories, which is that's the worst pain. Like people usually enable like some old repo from OBS, which then you know holds something back, and then migration doesn't happen. So I'm showing users this is all disabled because like I will not even proceed if it's enabled. And I see that we will have issue with the non-OSS repository, right? If somebody has Steam from RPM and then he will try to migrate, I can see how this will not end up well, because we currently do not have in non-OSS repository. Oh, sorry, we do not have all dependencies in Leap, 32-bit libraries and stuff to actually install Steam from RPM. Okay, so maybe we should maybe drop it, write it in release notes. I feel like there is no benefit in having something broken inside. You can maybe enable like games repository, and then you will have these libraries in there, and that will work, and it will create some sort of Franken Leap. But that's your choice. Our recommendation will be probably to stick with Flatpak. Especially for non-OSS stuff, okay? So I think the tool will support use cases. SLES is using something else. They are, I believe, using something from Marcus Schaefer, which was originally intended for migration of container images or something in the cloud. I'm not sure what the name is, but like I felt like OpenSUSE release package made it so easy that we wouldn't have to use any complex software to do these migrations. Any other questions? Uh-huh. Go for it. It's off for some reason.
Hello. Ah, okay, yeah.
Now it works.
Some remark to the 32-bit library problem. Are you aware that there are brother printer drivers which also need some 32-bit libraries? Mainly it's a libUSB and a libc, which is probably not problematic.
We have libc. We have like 40-something packages, but we need like 200, so, and we are not getting that from SLES. That's the problem, right? And we could fork these packages. Mm. But like then we will have to deliver our own maintenance updates and stuff for it, and we will have to keep it in sync. And we do not want to do that. Why, you know?
That's okay. But let me say, when a brother will also not deliver new drivers for old printers, I'm rather sure. So you shouldn't make them unusable on Leap 16.
If you have some software that we can ship with what we have, and it's just the fact that it's missing, we can add it. Mm-hmm. If it's not building and it takes like one or two 32-bit libraries to be added on SLES side and it would be working, we can have the discussion. We have, I didn't mention because normally I have a separate talk for it, but you can actually go to codeopensuse.org/leap/. Oh, yeah, it's here. Where is my mouse? Let me open it. This one. codeopensuse.org/leap/features, or just look up leap features, and you can create an issue. You can say, I want to support this driver, you know, and like it seems like I'm missing just these two libraries, and I can have the discussion with architects. Olaf offered me if there is something significant, and it would take like little effort, not 200 packages, but like two or something. We can have that discussion, okay? But like I need to hear these use cases. You have to keep it in mind. If it doesn't happen before RC, I guess it's not happening. You can always enable like third-party repository, but then you have limited migration options, right? Like I will not be able to support such migration, especially if maybe the repository is not bumped for the newer version and stuff. That's always the problem. But yeah, if you know about something like that, please report me the use case. I'll be happily looking into that. We have a meeting every Monday. Again, you can find these meetings on calendaropensuse.org. I try to have everything public, you know, Monday, 3 p.m., the feature meeting, me, Neil, Luna, sometimes Gertjan, Richard Trau, is he here? He's usually there as well. And we can review that and have these discussions. I can create Jiras that are needed on the SLES side, ping people. That's why I'm here. Cool. Any other questions?
Lubos, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I want to take you back a little bit to the, I call it the question, mm-hmm. to Tumbleweed or to Leap.
Okay.
And a lot of new users really, really struggle even with the existing documentation. Eh? And I'm wondering if there is any, I know it's probably use case, you could sort of go by use case.
Yeah, it should be always use case.
But it's like, even for me, I go back and I reread and reread and say, okay, which one do I go with?
So I really right feel here, like so. You should look from the dependency perspective. Sometimes it's really easy, like if you need like, hey, do you want to maybe deploy the software as a container and then you don't really care about the base? Maybe then we are talking like micro as Leap micro, you know, that's also one option, right?
Yeah.
And if you are deciding in between Leap and Tumbleweed for production, it should be question whether the maintenance of these products suits your needs, like because with Tumbleweed you can have quite large updates a week, right? You can fetch like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 gigs of the data, but like you have the latest greatest, and if you need latest greatest, then don't stay with Leap unless you combine it with some sort of Tumbleweed containers, you know. And I think you should really look at it from this perspective. So the maintenance, the software versions you need, and that's about it. Like these are the main differences: lifecycle and. And it also, like, are you dependent on kernel? Like, can it change from month to month? Are you affected? If yes, then Tumbleweed would not be a good choice. But if you don't care, then why not? You know, you could consider a microOS, for example, which is Tumbleweed-based. Any other questions? Nobody has concerns. So I see that you are all fine with 32-bit situation as it is, minimal maybe with some driver exceptions. I didn't hear any complaints about branding, so you all like the wallpapers and icons, I guess. If not, please let us know, like we can do something about it. We have dark and light versions, which is cool, like for night mode. That improved, the yellow one you do not want to actually open at night. And I guess like if you would have any concerns, just talk to me. I'm here until noon Saturday or half past one Saturday. And if you didn't notice, we have these QR codes all across the building. So this is the quiz application that we had. We wrote for not only for OSC, but also for other conferences, just to get rid of the paper solutions, because that sucks. If you print 1,000 papers, you find typo, then you can just throw them away because everybody knows, right? And in this way, it's digital, it's eco-friendly, and we can add flexibly new questions. And at the end of the day on the stage, there will be Doug picking up the winner every day, one winner, and he gets some really cool swag from the Open Source Library. I see that Dominic is trying to top 100% again. So yeah, do it. Like, if you find some issues with the questions, yeah. If you notice that sometimes the question doesn't match the answers, it's very likely because you are using incomplete translation, okay? In certain languages, specifically German, that's the case. If you want to fix it, you can contribute to the translations in Weblate, L10, and OpenSUSE.org. We have plenty of languages, and we will be happily extending the translations. Yep, that one. So everybody's welcome to contribute. It's very easy. Just create a Weblate account, find quiz, and you can just shoot it just like you say. Cool. I guess this is all from me. So have fun with quiz. Please start testing on Leap 16 as soon as possible, because you still have time, but in a month it may be too late. If your workloads are not working now, and we will not do anything about it, they will probably not work after as well. And keep fingers crossed to Adam with the Git migration. We want to have it done. We want to have it smooth as possible. We want to be friendly towards contributors. Yeah. And I guess have a lot of fun. Thank you.